We're covering five chapters. We let people in the back, please. In introduction tonight, there's a verse in Psalms chapter 11, verse 3. It says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know, every Christian has a moral compass, and that's Christ. We have God's word. We have God's will. But unfortunately, some people will take that moral compass and go elsewhere and go the wrong way. And tonight I want to look at five chapters in the book of Judges about how did they get there? You could also ask the question, how could we get there? If you don't have a moral compass, if you don't have your focus on God, you could wind up just like them. And so, you don't think what you do is important. Can you turn my mic down just a little bit, dear? Far left. One family can make a difference. In these five chapters of Judges, it starts with one family losing direction. So let's look at this. In this passage, there are two times that this verse occurs. In Judges chapter 17, verse 6, and in Judges chapter 21, verse 25, there's the same verse. It says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, this was before King Saul. This was the time of the judges. Israel is in the promised land. And God never intended for them to have a king. God was going to be their king. God only intends for you to have one Lord and Master, and that's Him. We were created to worship and glorify Him. We were created to have a relationship with Him. And He is our king. And the country of Israel, families in Israel, basically did what was right in their own eyes. And these two verses in this passage form bookends. There's the beginning and there's the end. Now, it's interesting that the book that is in the canon of Scripture after Judges is the book of Ruth. And the book of Ruth identifies the lineage of who? King David. King David. There is a king coming. Folks, there is. Our king is coming. We've been studying about him on Wednesday night. He is coming, and he's coming from you, and he's coming from me, and he's going to set up a 1,000-year kingdom.
Amen.
And we're going to rule and reign with him. But you better get ready and make him king now. He is our king right now.
Amen.
So the question is, what happened here? What happened here? Well, the first point is a family went astray. One family went astray. In Judges chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, it's a story of a man by the name of Micah. This is not the same Micah that has the book of Micah written. There are three Micahs here. This is the first one. Micah, the name means this, one who is like God. This Micah was nowhere close. And folks, we as Christians and we as disciples are to be like God. We talked about that this morning. How close are you? Are you getting there or are you going the other way? It says here, it says, and there was a man of Mount Ephraim. When we studied Revelation, we've been studying Revelation, there are two tribes that are not mentioned in the 144,000, Ephraim and Dan. You're going to see that here. You're going to see that here. Whose name was Micah, verse 2. And he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest, and spake also in mine ears, behold, I stole it. I stole it. It's with me. And so Micah starts out, his first introduction to us is he's a thief. And because he's a thief, he's cursed. And it says, I took it. And look at what his mother says. And his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. But it gets worse. So it starts with stealing. And folks, it leads to idolatry. And idolatry is stealing from God. It's spiritual stealing. And so this reaction here is, that's great, praise God. And yes, you should praise God when you recover something. But that's not what happens here. Verse 3. Help me, dear. It says, and when he had returned the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother, his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image. And a, not just a graven one, a molten one. Okay? Now therefore I will restore it to thee. Verse 4. And now I've missed. Okay, fine. Let's just read them out here. Verse 4. Yet he restored the money to his mother. And his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made therefore thereof a graven image and a molten image. And they were in the house of Micah. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt make no graven image. Thou shalt not do it. But that's just not it. Look at verse 5. And the man Micah had a house of gods. It just wasn't this. He had a lot of these things. And made an ephod. Who were supposed to make the ephods? The priest. Who were supposed to wear them? The priest. And teraphim. And consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. See, when you steal, you start stealing from God. And sin causes you to do more sin. And then you say, hey, this is working out for me, so I'll do something even worse, and then I'll make everything my own God. And so this family is totally given to idolatry. Mama helped it. One family could make a huge difference. There's a story of two young boys. They were the sons of a preacher, and they were living in the mid-1800s, and they moved from Kentucky to Missouri, to a small town in Missouri. Well, while they were there, they found a dog, and the dog was a black dog with little white flecks in its tail. And they loved the dog, and they were playing with the dog. And then they heard that the dog had actually, that there was a new family that moved into town that had a black dog with white flecks in its tail, and that they were looking for it. And these two boys loved the dog so much true story, that they took shoe polish and blacked out the white in the tail. And so when the family came around, they saw a dog look like this. They said, that's not your dog because it has no white in its tail. And the father of the two, the preacher, said, that's their dog. That's their dog. Something is wrong because I am missing all sorts of slides now. Oh, there's that. Okay, we'll go back to it. I understand what happened. Wrong leads to more wrong. Now the story of the boys. Frank and Jesse James. Frank and Jesse James. They're really one family? Absolutely. Absolutely. One family, what we do in our families can cause an impact on a whole lot of people. So now I'm going to go back and find this. The second point. But it doesn't end there. So what laws did he break? Well, there was stealing. That's one of the Ten Commandments. There was the molten image. That's one of the Ten Commandments. There's another one about not making someone other than Levite a priest. That's another violation of law. There was making all the priestly garments and worshiping the thing. That's that. And not only that, he had a lot of garments. He had a lot of idols. Okay? Wrong leads to more wrong. Then there's a Levite that went astray. In verse 7 of Judges 17, it says, and there was a man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. See, if you're going the wrong way, you're going to find the wrong people. And Micah said unto him, whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I might find a place. I'm going to find the rest of it now. And Micah said unto him, dwell with me. Now, who was the Levite supposed to serve? God. They were supposed to obey the what? Ten Commandments. Okay? And Micah said unto him, dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest. And I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy food. So the Levite went in. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. It doesn't matter who you got around. If you're living in sin, God's not going to be good to you. And we need to understand that. God is not going to bless people who have no moral compass. Violating all his laws. It wasn't enough that he stole the money. It wasn't enough that his mama made an idol. It wasn't enough that they consecrated one of their sons. It was more that they went out and they got a Levite and got him in the gig with them. And folks, when one family falls and they have a negative influence, you make other people that should know better fall. Folks, you can't do things your own way. You can't. Just because your name says one who is like God doesn't mean anything. It's what's down here that counts. And so we have a family now that has influenced a Levite to leave his calling and go serve idols. You know, there's a lot of people today that are in the ministry for filthy lucre. They're in the ministry as a hireling. And the Bible prohibits that. It says, don't hire a hireling, because he's just in it for the money. You got to find people who are in it for God. Okay? And so, now there's a family went astray. Now a Levite went astray. And then it gets even worse. A whole tribe goes astray. In Judges chapter 18, this was a time when God said, go in and possess the land. But the Danites hadn't done that yet. And there was a family of the Danites that hadn't gotten this land. And they found this town. They found this area and they said, hey, this looks like good for us. And it's when, where God promised it, so we need to go take it. But we need to go find God and bless this. So, they go and they just happen to pass by Micah's house. See, if you want evil to come, just open your front door. If you want to do wrong, just open your front door. It's going to come. It's going to come. It says, when they were by the house of Micah, they knew the voice of the young man, the Levite. Now, wait a second. Coincidence? No. Situations are set up to tear down everything that's holy. And once one person gets in sin, it kind of tends to, everybody wants to do the thing, say, gravitate one to another. Birds of a feather flock together, okay? And they turned in hither and said to him, hey, what are you doing here? Okay? And what are you doing? What are you making now in this place? And what hast thou here? Verse 4, and he said unto them, thus and thus dealeth Micah with me, and has hired me, and I am his priest. And they said unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. You know, Satan himself disguised himself as an angel of light. And the priest said unto them, go in peace, before the Lord is your way wherein ye go. And no. There's a lot of people out there saying, thus saith the Lord, have no clue what God says. We're supposed to have a discerning spirit. By their fruits ye shall know them. This guy, hired by a thief, in a house with idols, worshiping idols, and these people, the Danites, were so non-observant that they just said, oh, we'll ask him of God. Folks, you can only get God's counsel and God's wisdom from God himself, not from people who are pretending to be that way. So there were five spies, there were five men that were sent out, and they saw this. They went back to their tribe. They went back to their family and dad and said, we found a priest and he said everything's going to be okay. And they went down there and the city was defenseless. They went in there and they took the city. But there's more. In verses 16 and 8 to 20 of verse 8 of chapter 18. And 600 men appointed with their weapons of war, which were of the children of Dan, stood by entering of the gate. Whose gate? Mike, he's a favorite place to hang out now. And the five men that went up to spy out the land went up and came in thither, took the graven image and the ephod and the teraphim and the molten image, and the priest stood in the entering of the gate with the 600 men that were appointed with weapons of war. And these went into Micah's house and fetched the carved image, the ephod, and the teraphim, and the molten image. Then said the priest, what are you doing? What are you doing? And they said to him, hold thy peace. Shh. We got a better deal for you. lay thy hand upon thy mouth and go with us and be to us a father and a priest. It is better for thee to be a priest to the house of one man, or thou be a priest unto a tribe and a family and Israel. See, when you get in sin, it'll start applying to you, going to your pride and talking to your pride. This Levite was wrong. Micah was wrong. The whole family was wrong. All this was wrong. Wrong leads to what? More wrong. People start congregating. That leads to more wrong. And the priest's heart was sad. He had an opportunity to do the right thing. His heart was glad. Yeah, I'm moving on up. I'm moving up. I'm gone from just being a Levite to being this guy's priest. Now I'm a priest of the tribe of Israel. Wow, God's blessed me so much. Thank you, God. People think that. They think that when things go well, that's God's blessing. And they fall away from God and they're not following Him at all. That's the lie. That's the lie. And he took the ephod and the cherubim and the graven image and went in the midst of the people, and because Dan and Ephraim was totally given to idolatry, they're not listed out of the 144,000 people that are witnesses in the book of Revelation. Folks, what we do now have long-lasting impact. Don't think what you do won't affect anybody else. Don't think who you influence doesn't affect somebody else. It does. And if you don't have a moral compass, they won't have one. And if you don't have one, you'll find a whole bunch of people that don't have one, and then everything goes downhill. So there's a family that was astray. A Levite went astray. And now a whole tribe has gone off. But it gets worse. Now an entire nation goes astray. I'll summarize this. There was another Levite who had a concubine who was also from Bethlehem, Judah. You know, sin arises out of the same place. And he married her, but she was unfaithful to him. And so she ran home to daddy for 4 months. Okay? For 4 months. So the Levite comes down to Bethlehem to the dad. And they have a family reunion. Everything's going well and they're restoring. And they said, I need to go back with my wife. He says, stay for a day. And it comes in 2 days, comes in 3 days. I said, no, we got to go back home. We got to go back home. And so they start their journey. They come to Jerusalem. And they want to stay there in Jerusalem. And there's no place for them to stay. So they go on and they move into this. They find this old man, an Ephraite, out of a town called Gibeah. It says, hey, I've got food. I've got straw for your all your animals and every your livestock. We take care of you. And so the Levite and his concubine go with the old man and they go to his house. And folks, when there's no moral compass, there's no constraint on people. There's no restraint on how people act. And just like in Sodom and Gomorrah, the same thing happens here. The men of the city of Gibeah comes up to the old man's house and says, hey, we saw this guy come into your house. Bring him outside that we may know him. And we all know what that means. Okay? And the man said, nope, I'll send my maiden here. I'll send my maiden here out. My daughter and this man's concubine. You don't do with them what you want. That's not right. see when we are in a country that has moral corruptness, we could also make the same mistake and actually go down that bad path. No one's standing up for what's right. No one's standing up for God. You know what? Because God's not king in the land. We got a corrupt family. We got a corrupt priest. We got a corrupt tribe. And now the whole nation's gone corrupt. And it's filled with all the things that God says I hate. And they go out and they ravage the concubine and they leave her for dead. Okay? They leave her for dead. The man wakes up in the morning. He finds his concubine out holding onto the threshold. And he says, it's time to go. And she doesn't move because she's dead. Now, what happens here? The most hideous thing starts the most hideous thing I've ever heard of in the Bible. But it shows how far man can go. So this Levite takes his concubine and cuts her up into 12 parts and sends all the parts off to every tribe in Israel and saying, this is what happened to me, to get everybody into uproar. And folks, sin, wrong will lead to more wrong. And then when you get a culture of wrong, it starts making people do some hideous things. What if everybody was just following God? None of this would have happened. None of this would have happened. So there's savagery in Gibeah. Well, in verse 20, chapter 20, you can keep on reading there if you want to. And I would suggest you go back and read this tonight. But here's what happened. The tribes got together and said, justice has got to be served over this. And so the 11 tribes armed themselves against Benjamin, because Gibeah was part of Benjamin. And Benjamin was going to protect Gibeah. Folks, when people have no moral compass, they'll protect the people who are doing wrong. This sounds like our culture today. People covering up and doing all sorts of stuff. Hey, everybody doing right in their what? Own eyes. And so here's what happens. They don't really consult God in this. They go to Shiloh and they go and they say, should we fight? And then they go on and they do their own thing. And there's a civil war. And in verse 21, 22,000 Israelites die in the battle. Verse 25, another 18,000 of them die. It's not going very well for the Israelites. It won't go well when you're in sin. It won't go well when you're out of God's will. It won't go well when you think you have the moral high ground and you're just as deprived as the other person. Everybody goes down the toilet. Then they go and they have a different strategy and they fight with Benjamin. And now 25,000 people die out of the tribe of Benjamin for this cause. Started with people in one town, immoral, doing things that were ungodly, and it causes the death of 65,000 people who didn't even have anything to do with it. Yeah. Folks, what we do has an everlasting impact on the world. And when everyone does what is right in their own eyes, they don't consult God. They try to take care of themselves, and that just leads to more problems. It leads to more problems. So now they've got this dilemma. The problem is they had made this promise. The people who were fighting against Benjamin said, we're not going to let our kids, our daughters, marry anybody the Benjamites. And there were 600 Benjamites left, and they were up in the rocks after this battle. They were up in the rocks of Gibeah. And what happened here was an amazing thing. He didn't consult God. It's all about our legacy. It's all about the inheritance. It's all about the promised land. It's all about this. They missed the point. In Judges chapter 21, verse 3, it says this. It said, O Lord God of Israel. Look at this. Why is this come to pass in Israel that there should be today one tribe lacking in Israel? God, why did you do this to us? Why did you let this happen? Started back in chapter 17. It started with no moral compass. It started with people not doing what God told them to do. It started with people not standing up for God. It started with people not doing the right thing. And isn't that the truth? People blame everything else except themselves. They had no... The only people that are guilty in this were them. Don't blame God when you go into sin. God doesn't make you sin. He tempts no man. But every man sins when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And so, they say, they miss the point. They blame God now. And when you have no moral compass, when things don't go your way, you're going to blame God. I don't know why God laid this one on my heart to preach this message. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people out there that have no moral compass. And folks, what we talk about here, we better back up in our families. And we better back up in our homes. And we better teach our kids. Or we'll say, I just don't understand why my kid turned out the way it did. God must not love me. Folks, look at yourselves. We all need to examine ourselves. Well, they come up with a wonderful idea of how to fix this one. They went around and they looked of all the tribes that went up against Benjamin. They said, is there anybody that didn't come to the battle? And they found a city, Jabesh Gilead. Said, why didn't they come? And this becomes incredible. This is an incredible thing. They take matters in their own head. We got this problem. We can't give our daughters to the Benjamites because they did this thing. We promised that we would never do that. So in order for us to keep our word, in order for the Benjamites to have a heritage that won't be defiled, we'll go into Jabesh Gilead and we'll kill everybody there except for the young virgins. That's what happens. That's what happens. God's chosen people, after they sit there and they blame God for what they're in, say, we're going to take matters in our own hands because we're smarter than God. And they go and they waste Jabesh Gilead. And they save 400 virgins out of that city. All the men are dead. You know something? In reality, they were innocent. They had no part of this. and all the depravity that people will go into. Folks, it's a wicked world out there. We are the moral compass. And if this goofiness is going on in your family, stop it. If this is you're contributing to stuff that's going on in work, stop it. Be separate. Be holy. Be a royal. Be a peculiar people. Stand up for what's right. Because every man's doing what's right in his own eyes. So they take matters in their own hands. And they said, okay, here's what we're going to do for these Benjamites that need a wife. Every year, the young women have to go to worship the Lord in Shiloh. And they go up and they dance. And we'll tell these people from Benjamin, the remnant of Benjamin, go hide in the rocks at the right time. And when you see these young women dancing, go out and kidnap them. Because having a legacy is more important. Having a legacy for yourself is more important than having a legacy for God. And in verses 20 through 24 of Judges, I'll read this. It says, therefore they commanded the children of Benjamin, saying, go and lie in wait in the vineyards. And see and behold, if the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance and dances, they come out of the vineyards and catch you, every man, his wife, of the daughters of Shiloh, and go to the land of Benjamin. And it shall be, when their fathers or their brother come unto us to complain, that we will say to them, be favorable unto them for our sakes, because we reserve not to each man his wife in the war, for ye did not give unto them at this time, ye should be guilty. And the children of Benjamin did so, and took them wives according to their number, of them that danced, whom they caught, and they went and returned in their inheritance, and repaired the cities and dwelt in them. And the children of Israel departed thence at that time, every man to his tribe. Ah, we got it all solved. We took care of the problem. God's going to bless us again because we're God's chosen people. To his family, and they went out from thence, every man to his inheritance. Who gave him that inheritance? God did. How presumptuous were the children of Israel in this? How presumptuous are we, Christian, that think God's going to bless us just because we call his name? Don't be presumptuous. Live a holy life. Do what is right. Be the moral compass. Show a difference. Make a difference. And then it ends, and this book ends. In those days, there were no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in their own eyes. Tonight, I wanted to show you what starts out as a little thing can blow up to be a great big problem. And the further you get away from God, the worse it will get. You'll find yourself doing things that you never thought possible, with people you would never thought you would ever associate with. Don't blame God. Search your heart and ask for his forgiveness and come back to him. It's not too late. Amen. Don't be like them. everybody doing right in their own eyes. God is God, and we are not. What God says, we will do. Where He sends, we will go. What He talks us to do, we will do. Is that your promise and commitment to Him tonight? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Father, I just pray that You help us as families not to be stumbling blocks. And Father, that we associate with people that we don't force them to be a stumbling block, and they're not a stumbling block to us. Father, our nation is sick. Father, there are churches that are sick. There are people that call Your name, and they do everything contrary to Your name. Father, I ask that You expose the right and expose the wrong, and that the wrong will be sought out for forgiveness. Lord, help us. We're a needy people. Watch over us tonight. Help us, Lord, to do what is right in Your eyes from this point forward. And we ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.